Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Jessie, yeah. Can I say you look really pretty today?
Thank you.
You've made an effort, got makeup on, wearing black, my favourite colour.
Thank you, Mum. I tell you why I've made an effort today, because we have the founding owner of Studio 54, and I didn't want him going through his mind that he'd be like, you wouldn't have got him. So I made a bit of an effort. And also, I'm with you, and to be fair, we don't have any excuses. We are just doing this all week.
Yeah, I know. And I always make an effort.
Yes, you do. And I've learned from really shit selfies that I need to put a bit of makeup on.
Lippy, but you look really beautiful,
though. Thank you, Mum. It must be that pregnancy glow as well, yeah?
No, you just look... I think the hair dark is good.
Yeah, because I've had so many greys. Yeah. Anyway, today we have... Well, I've kind of already introduced him, but today we have...
An icon.
An icon, a New York icon.
Yeah, he is.
A cultural icon.
A style icon. And a scene icon.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the king of scene.
The king of the scene.
His name is Ian Schrager, and he was one of the two partners...
Founders. Yeah.
...of Studio 54, the most iconic discotheque.
Yeah.
Kind of in the world.
Yes.
But especially in New York in the 70s. He's had quite the journey from starting Studio 54...
The glamour.
With his partner, Steve Rebell, who actually passed away, to then going to prison for tax charges, to then having to restart, and now is probably one of the biggest hoteliers, entrepreneurs in the world, and has some of the most successful hotels in the world. And I'm so excited to speak to him about some of that time in Studio 54, and also about his hotels now, and how he's still kind of the scene king. I'm wondering whether he's a bit fussy, because we got an email from his publicist saying that he needed a Starbucks Grande
bold. Half and half
on the side that he pours in, and small Perrier's, and
full fat coke.
Now, we did have big Perrier's, and then we freaked out, so we went and found some small Perrier's. So I'm interested to see whether that's come from him or...
Whether he's a fusspot.
Whether he's a bit of a fusspot.
Yeah.
What have we made him, Mum?
I've made Blinis, just because it's 4 p.m, he's only here for an hour, just a little something to go with a drink, but I bet you he won't eat anything.
Why do you think he's not going to eat anything?
I think he's probably one of those people that does
things his way.
Yeah.
Right. Unlike us. If there's food in front of us, we will eat it.
Yeah.
We have Ian Schrager in Chelsea. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I watched your documentary. I thought the documentary was great.
Thank you. I mean,
were you happy with it?
Yes.
Because I feel like you must have had involvement in it, because...
I did. It wasn't the film I wanted to make.
Right.
But because it came out well, and because it had a drama to it, and because I trusted Matt, you know, I went along with it.
I thought you came across really... I thought, for me, who... So I'm a singer, first and foremost, and then I decided to do this podcast with my mum, and we invite guests over, and we talk about food and food memories, but it always kind of escalates into different bits and bobs. But and my new record that I'm making is very kind of paying homage to this kind of 80s disco. I mean, you were in the 70s kind of when Studio 54 happened. But for me, it was so exciting just to see those faces and to see like the world, and I just kind of... It just seemed like such a whirlwind. And the fact that it was only, 36 months?
33.
33 months.
And I just want to know about that party. I mean, I want to talk about your hotels and everything, but I just want to know about the party before you went to jail, if you're happy to talk about the fact that Nile Rodgers said it was almost bigger than the opening party.
You know,
Diana Ross playing.
I really wasn't in the mood for a party.
Whose idea was it then?
It just took on a life of its own, and always trying to show a strong side.
Yeah.
But we're going to jail tomorrow. Let's throw a party. Kind of, there's something incongruous about it. But, you know, and I really didn't want to go. I would rather spend time with my girlfriend at the time. However, I thought if I didn't go, my absence would be very conspicuous, so I needed to go.
Was your girlfriend really pissed off? Was she like, I want a night in with you, and...
It wasn't so much that, it's just that, you know, it wasn't really a celebratory time.
No, right.
Was she a famous person, your girlfriend, at the time?
She was a fashion designer. And, you know, it just, I think it just shows you how wacky the whole thing was for us to have a party.
Yeah.
Before going to jail the next day. It's crazy.
And I bet the hangover was pretty bad the next day.
I'll never forget, you know, we were like, I was kind of catatonic, and as was Steve. Mm. And you really don't realize until you actually hear the door slam behind you.
I bet.
So, but it was fun. Steve had a really good time.
Good.
And I guess I had a really good time because he had a really good time.
Well, it seems like with your partnership with Steve and Rebel, and you, you were the kind of quieter, more mysterious one that was in the background, maybe. And Steve was like, he was the person that had, well, I mean, this is what the documentary says, but, you know, he'd be there. Everyone knew him. I imagine high-fiving everyone, knowing everybody. And there's that amazing, but like that amazing clip in the documentary where Michael Jackson comes in and Steve's getting interviewed and he goes, and he's chatting about the club and he goes, hey, Michael, yeah, come over. And Michael comes over and he's like, hey, Steve always looks after me. And it's like, for people watching somebody like me, just to see that was every night somebody or other. You must have been exhausted.
Yes, it was when Monday came around, which was when we were dark. Steve and I were just completely wiped out. We used to go to dinner and chat about things, but it was really a totally consuming, like holding onto a lightning bolt. It's the only way I can explain it.
Why was it called Studio 54?
Because it was called Studio 52 because it was a TV studio.
Okay.
And for some reason, they called it Studio 52, and we just changed it to Studio 54 because it was on 54th Street.
And people performed live there?
Or before us.
Before you. But
it was
then
a theatre.
It was a theatre, but then it was just DJs. Who was your favorite?
We didn't believe in having performances because we thought you run the risk of stopping the party. And if you stop the party, you may not be able to get it started again. You know, there's a kind of, there's a momentum that builds up. There's an energy, some inexplicable thing that happens. So we would have moments during the evening that would goose the night. But they would never last more than a minute, and they would never stop the party. They were meant to enhance it, to push it to a new level. When you're watching a performance, it could be very exciting, I suppose, but it's a very static.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, when I'm at a wedding, I like the wedding band for like two songs, and then I'm like, give me the DJ.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So on those Monday nights, you and Steve, you say you went out for dinner. Was there like a place you used to go? Like, was there a particular meal that you would, it kind of would be that Monday
night? We used to go to
this
place called Frankie's and Johnny's. It was a steak place.
I've heard.
It was on the second level. It felt a little bit, it was a speakeasy when liquor wasn't legal. And it was upstairs and quiet.
That's what you needed.
Broadway people went.
Right.
To sit there and have a steak and just sort of catch up, catch our breath. And that was the night that Time magazine and Newsweek magazine and all the magazines came out. So we would go home and
flick
read
through
all the magazines.
and see the photos, the paparazzi photos.
I was the only night abreast.
But still kind of working, flicking for it, seeing what kind of the results of...
was enjoyable.
Right.
But it was just nonstop. It was nonstop the nonstop activity by us lasted for more than 33 months. But, you know, during when studio was open, it was just a nonstop whirlwind.
Did you like the Studio 54 movie?
No.
Why not?
It had nothing to do with reality. It was an exploitation. It was probably one of the only movies Miramax at that time did that wasn't any good. It just wasn't good. I didn't like it. I didn't want to be a part of it.
And so I guess having the chance for this documentary to come out, I mean, which you feature in a lot, and it's your, you know, I think you come across brilliantly. There was more control there. And would you?
You know what it is? I didn't, you know, I wanted to do the film. I went and I brought in Matt Turnauer. I went in and I brought in John Bassick from London, who was a very accomplished producer who recently did Life in 12 Bars with Eric Clapton. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do the film. My idea of the film was to kind of connect all the dots. What happened? Why did it happen? And so on and so forth. But I trusted Matt, and I was willing to be completely open and honest, thinking that I'd be able to convince him if I didn't want to use something that was embarrassing to me. You know, people forget the bad stuff 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. So why do I want to talk about the bad stuff? Mm-hmm. But that's like asking a fox, after he's in the chicken coop, don't eat the chickens. But once I started telling him about he wanted to use it. And he said, look, it's dramatic and it's compelling and nobody ever really heard it before. And, you know, so my desire to be involved with something good, mm-hmm. I went along with it.
It's a big day in America today. It's the midterms, voting, and... Just to kind of go back to the documentary, you said something, you got the right of voting taken away from you. And you say how when you don't realise, when you don't have that freedom and that it was awful. And I know that Barack Obama pardoned you, but does it mean that you've got your vote back?
Thank God.
Thank God. So you got it back only, what, like 2 years ago? Or?
No, when, with the pardon.
Oh, crikey. Can I ask, have you voted like today?
You know, you do something like what Steve and I did, the punishment isn't only going to jail or whatever, it's taking everything away. It's like taking your epaulets, stripping your uniform, taking everything away from you. It's part of the process. But, you know, we showed that that process works for us. You know, we made a mistake, we paid our price. You know, we picked ourselves up and went on and became successful again. So we're kind of proof the system works.
And have you voted today?
Yep.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, I guess you'll never not vote again, right?
Because, first time in a long time.
Oh, man. Well, mazel
tov. You need to vote.
Everybody needs to vote.
Yeah, that you do. Yeah.
Do you still live in New York?
Yes.
And you are a New Yorker, right?
Yes.
Jewish?
Yes.
So we're Jewish.
We're family religious.
You know, I'm not. My family was somewhat religious. My grandfather was a rabbi.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm more respectful for my heritage, and you know, I observe the holidays, and I want my son to have a bar mitzvah, and. But in terms of a real religious and keeping the Sabbath and things like that, I don't do that.
You sound a bit like us.
Yeah.
And we eat shrimp.
Exactly.
Because it's delicious. So you were brought up whereabouts in...
Brooklyn.
Okay.
Oh, you've got the accent, I think.
You haven't lost it, have you?
I thought you thought I was from London.
No, I love your accent. I hate that because people always say it to us, but you've got the most wonderful Brooklyn accent.
It's such a good one.
It's so gentrified now, Brooklyn.
Never thought I'd go back.
Really?
Do you live there now?
No.
But
when I grew up, your goal was to get out and move on. Now people are going back. I guess the same way they went back 200 years ago. When it got too expensive in New York, Manhattan, people moved to Brooklyn.
So where did your parents come from? What's your ethnicity?
My parents were born here, but their parents came from, my father's side came from Austria.
Austria.
And my mother's side came from Russia.
So were your family big on Jewish cooking, Jewish food?
My mother, yes.
What was her best Jewish dish?
I mean, everything. I mean, she used to make great gefilte fish. She did everything, you know, and my father really liked it as well. We all really liked it. And, you know, the house smelled Jewish.
Yeah. I know that. It's like my grandma's like that. Yeah. It kind of always has this faint smell of kind of chicken broth.
Something.
Yeah.
So.
Where would you go for good chicken soup in New York now?
Oh, boy, I don't know. There's one restaurant downtown called Sammy's Romanian. I don't know if you've ever eaten it.
I've never heard of it.
There are restaurants that are kosher.
Yeah, but doesn't mean they make the best
this
food.
This feels like you're in a Jewish...
Yeah, Sammy's Romanian.
Sammy's Romanian.
Does he do other things good, like chopped liver and...
Yeah.
We should go.
Maybe we should go. I love Halsell.
Lots of garlic.
Lots of garlic in
there. I've never had hay. Who was that?
Halsell's like, Grandma used to make it. It's like you can stuff the skin of a chicken and you stuff it with stuffing and then you
We've
you
got a cookbook. That should go in the cookbook.
Maybe. Halsell.
So my friend who lives here, he's a nice Jewish boy and now he lives in LA. So I just sent him a care package of Russ and Daughters smoked salmon and bagels.
You
can't get a good bagel in LA, I tell you. So I wanted to know, because obviously you are, I mean, what would you call, yourself a hotelier? You're kind of everything, right?
Well, I'm an entrepreneur. I guess you could call me a hotelier.
Well, can we talk about your hotels? Because some of your hotels are, some of them, well, for me, I remember, you had the Hudson.
Yes.
And I remember when my sister was living in New York and it was like the place to go. And it was that big escalator and it kind of felt like you were going into space or something like that. And it didn't feel like a hotel.
Who designed it?
Philippe Starck. That was one of his.
But you work with him quite... worked with him quite a lot. And also the Edition hotels which I really, really love. Have you been to every one of your hotels?
Of course.
What's been the hardest project?
The Gramercy Park Hotel.
Really? What made it so hard?
Because it wasn't my normal aesthetic. It was more of an intellectual exercise for me, doing something much more decorative and baroque than what I had previously done. And so, you know, I didn't have an instinctive feel about it. So I had to think about everything. Having to think about everything and having to, like, get a little bit intellectual about it, it doesn't come quite natural. And I wasn't as sure of myself, you know, with it, because it was something I'd never done before. Very baroque, very operatic, very over the top, you know, where I usually try and do things very simple and restrained, provocative, but simple.
And that's been happening since Studio 54, when you decided to kind of hire the Broadway lighting designers to
create... That was
create...
really a stroke of luck.
Really?
Yes. You know, out of... because at that time, that's what I call the garage age of nightclubs, where, you know, the technology had a garage phase, everything was being made in garages, rock and roll had a garage phase, till big business took over both those things. At that time, nightclubs was a very young industry. You know, you painted everything black, you had a record player, you were in business. So there were only a couple of guys that were doing nightclubs at that time. Regine's was doing it in Paris. So all the people we could have worked with, the usual suspects, were told not to work with us for competitive reasons, I suppose.
Right.
So we had a very time frame where we had to get open, because if we had opened after that, everyone would start leaving for the summer. So we had to get open, you know, so people would at least get a taste of what it was. So we, the lighting guy and the sound guy, there's only one of each. wouldn't work with us, so we had to pull something out of a hat. And going to Jules Fisher and Paul Moran's was really a seminal event for the place and for me, because I had never worked with someone so capable and so brilliant before. So it was very expansive for me. And having come from the theater, it was their idea to use the fly rail, which is what you use to pull scenery in and out. It was there, intact. So they said, you should use that. Okay. And everything went from there.
And was that how you had the moving of the sun and the moon?
Right.
So you'd kind of take people through sunset and it sounds like such a kind of immersive experience.
Totally. Salt every sense. Everyone, touch, feel, taste, smell, sight, everything.
And then those old bloody super DJs in Las Vegas went and kind of bastardized all that.
you know how the thing is different, the way if you look back, you can connect the dots. You know, I think I used to pay my DJ $60 a night. I remember one time a DJ came in, had his name in neon, and put it on the DJ booth. I practically jumped off the balcony to get his name off there. It was just a different time. Now some of these DJs in Ibiza, they make $25, $30 million a year.
Yeah.
So, but when you look behind it, it has turned that business. The DJs have become entertainment. And it's a different business.
Mm.
But then it was much more raw and spontaneous, and you didn't have to know anything. Studio 54 cost me $400,000 to do. When we did a second nightclub, I didn't have a new idea. That cost me $10
million. Was that Palladium?
Yeah.
And that was after you came out of prison. You did.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big difference. And how many years is that difference?
Palladium was 85, 8 years.
Yeah.
But studio was the original idea.
Yeah.
Which, has no correlation with the amount of money you spent.
Mm.
Palladium wasn't a new idea. It was just more, and it cost more.
What is Studio 54 now? Do you know?
It's still there. I think it's used as a theater for long-running shows. It's still basically there. All the rigging that we did are all down, and the floor has been leveled, but it's still there.
Who was your most exciting celebrity that used to come regularly?
Everybody that was a celebrity then, everybody. You came to New York, you stopped there.
Yeah.
Everybody.
So actors, singers,
there was every
playwrights,
single major
everything.
Actor. Everybody was there. At that time, could have been the Rolling Stones, or it could have been Mick Jagger or John Lennon, could have been a particular thrill. For me, Coretta Scott King was there. Everybody.
And who was the best dancer?
Yeah.
Oh.
I wonder who.
I don't know.
I'd like to think it was Bianca Jagger.
She used to dance a lot with this guy, Sterling St. Jacques, who was a really good dancer. Everybody was there. I was in a room with so many big names and so many celebrities that you actually become numb. Everywhere you look, there's a big celebrity, and you know what? Nobody cared.
No. And they all mingled together.
Right. That was the beautiful part about the whole thing.
Can you dance?
Yep.
Do you still like dancing?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
When you hear disco, does it send a shiver through your spine, or do you feel like, does it bring you back to that place?
No, I liked the disco music. There was a real backlash against it after Studio.
Yeah.
That maybe Studio was responsible for. Incredible that a place like a nightclub would have such a long-lasting, profound impact.
Yeah, it did. On music and
on culture.
Culture, race. Yeah.
Kind of...
sexuality.
It was integrated, wasn't it?
Sorry?
It was very integrated in terms of race, gender, sexuality. So it wasn't like a gay nightclub. It was just mixed, yeah.
And that's where the energy comes from. Nothing more boring than being in a room full of rich people.
No, true.
You know, so that energy, combustible energy, comes from the sparks that fly when people who you wouldn't ordinarily see together or see socializing together are in fact doing that. It's so unlikely, and that unlikeliness is what creates the energy that is so thick you could cut it with a knife. I mean,
exciting.
So fun. It was just... the energy was so palpable. I'm glad I got to experience it.
What was the defining song for you that is Studio 54?
There's a song I play every time I open up a place called The Way of the World.
That's the way of the world. I remember it. Who sang it? What was it? It was the Sound of Philadelphia.
Come to me in a second.
Oh, I've got to look it up.
Yeah, for some reason, I've forgotten it. But I loved all of it. I mean, I think I Will Survive was a very prominent hit. There are a lot of great songs, a lot of great Donna Summer songs. And
Donna Summer.
What was this? Do you remember the song that closed Studio 54, like the last song you played before you walked out?
I Will Survive.
And you did.
The last song.
You did.
Why?
For sure. You bloody did.
Yes, we did.
Came out on top.
I wanted to know, because obviously this is, I just want to hear about dancing, and I kind of feel like there wasn't that much food involved in Studio 54.
None.
I mean, yeah, it was drinks and drugs, right?
Yeah, I used to think at a party that food at a party can't really help it, can only hurt it.
Yeah, okay.
No, are you Jewish, really?
I'm not talking about a dinner party.
No. Okay. No, you're talking about a party.
But, you know, like, you know, because I think people are there for socializing and for camaraderie and having fun and meeting people. And so, you know, in the kind of like a 300-person party and all, I think, I used to think, and maybe I'm wrong, that the food can hurt it if it's not done well, if it doesn't taste good, if the service is bad, then people come away talking ill about it. But, you know, but if you have a dinner party, then of course the food has to be spectacular.
But people came late, didn't they? They'd have eaten their dinner. Yes. And so people started, it was late. You energized, ready for
about
action.
Midnight.
People started at midnight,
Can I ask how the food was in prison? Was it just...
You could pick up scrambled eggs.
Oh,
yeah. And they would all stick together. The place I was in, they used to come around and give sedation to some of the prisoners.
Why?
So I guess they were very aggressive. So it was like trading with the pills and everything.
Oh, my God.
That the food was terrible. There was no effort. It was there for subsistence. Terrible.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello
Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How many more hotels do you have in the making at the moment? Like, how many jobs do you have going at the moment of the kind of developing?
We're working on about 40 in total.
40? You must be exhausted.
No, you know what? As you get, as you get older, your mom.
Yeah.
You kind of figure it out.
Yeah, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you don't agonize over every issue. You kind of know the universe of possibilities. There's only a certain amount of finite solutions to, and you get more confident because you've been through it. And so I find that, and I can do, in working with Marriott, I can do much more than I've ever done before. It's much, much more expansive for me. So I can work on a lot more.
You don't want to stop and retire and go and have big 3 months in Hawaii.
I'm lucky. I love what I do.
Yeah. So,
and when you love what you do,
do you ever go on holiday?
Yes.
Where do you go?
You know, I everywhere.
One of your hotels.
No. Well,
where
one
would
of
you
the
stay
hotels,
then if you're not at your hotels? Which hotel?
I would rent a house.
Good answer.
In Miami, I have an apartment in one of the hotels.
Oh, nice.
But I can go anywhere, like wherever. You know,
we have
homes, so we go to the homes and we relax. And we have a young son, and it's difficult getting all the girls together when they can go with us.
Have you just got one child?
No, five.
You've got five.
So four girls and one boy. You finally got the boy.
Yeah.
Mazel tov.
And do any of them want to go into the family business?
I don't know. I have one that may, maybe two. I don't care. I want them to just be happy. You know what's so funny? When I was growing up, my parents wanted a doctor and a lawyer, and they got it.
You were the lawyer.
Doctor.
You were, yeah.
I was a lawyer.
Yeah.
But I don't have any ambitions for my kid other than them being happy.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, speaking of doctors, she got the doctor.
I got a doctor boy, yeah.
Who did make, and there's no pressure if you don't fancy it, but if you would like, the doctor made some banana bread. If you wanted a slice, you're welcome to have some. Otherwise, we did do some
blinnies,
some smoked salmon blinnies with sour cream.
Which I did make myself, homemade.
Would you like a little something to eat or not?
No, thank
you.
Okay,
fine.
Thank you very much.
But now, you love Starbucks.
Or
is it just like you went for the, when my manager went over there and ordered that, the person went, whoa, that's the strongest we do.
You know, it's strong coffee. I think it's, I don't even drink it all. It's like more of a, just something to keep me busy, I suppose.
And why do you only like the small Perrier, not the big one?
I don't know. I like to take the bottle, chug it.
Take a bottle, chug it. We got them for you.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
We've got your Coke and your Coke.
So you
are going to be up all night.
Yeah, but you know what? We thought you were going to be really fussy and you're gorgeous. You're just very easy.
Yeah, I'm easy.
Yeah, you are.
Now, because you get to eat all over the world, because you travel, you have hotels all over the world, where is your favourite food destination?
It depends where. In New York, it depends. Like for steak,
let's go with New York. We're doing a New York special. So, New York, some of your favorite places that you get to eat.
Oh well, for steak, I like Peter Luger's.
Oh, I've heard that's amazing.
I mean, there are others, but that's the best. Mm-hmm. I like Nobu for Japanese food.
Yeah,
even though it's kind of unique Japanese food. For Italian food, I like this restaurant called Patsy's.
Where's that?
It's on 56th Street. It's uptown.
Is it fancy or is it kind of more low key? Is it quite low key or is it quite
low key?
Fancy?
I mean, there are a lot of big shots and celebrities go there, but they really just go there for the food.
Okay.
Jesse, we're going. What's your favorite sort of food?
I like all kinds of food. I mean, I like it all.
Do you go out
Asian
for dinner every night?
No, we stay home.
You stay home.
Very bad for my reputation. We stay home. We
and
have a cook.
Is your wife a very good cook?
We have a cook, but she was
a
good
cook.
We try and eat at home. And, you know, it's like at this point in my life, having done everything and been there and done that more so, you know, to me, it's about loving my work and loving spending time with my family.
What's on the menu tonight?
I don't know.
Is it a surprise? So it's a surprise. You like it being a surprise. But will you be like, listen, can you just do that meatloaf this week or whatever? Will you kind of make a few
Sometimes
requests?
Sometimes I go in and I ask for something specific.
Okay, okay. What did you have for lunch?
Oh, I had a salad with a kale and chicken salad.
Kale. Bloody Don't get kale. My mum started on kale. She's sick to death of it.
Does everybody eat kale in the States? They look like pieces of kale soon, I'm telling you.
People are into health and well-being. Yeah, no.
So we ask all our guests, as this podcast is called Table Manners, we ask whether you think you have good table manners.
I do.
Okay, and what's your worst table manner if you're sitting with somebody at dinner you cannot tolerate in the other person?
Taking food, eating out of a platter.
Oh, okay, with their fork, not yes. using the serving spoon.
But that's
okay.
very common in some countries, like we go to Greece, and that's how they eat. They share. They just pick
Sharing in. Sharing is one thing.
And they smoke at the same time as they're eating.
Sharing is one thing if you go in and you're sharing. That's a different thing. But you know, that and eating from other people's
Cross-contamination,
plates.
You can't have it. No. You can't have it, fine.
And, you know, it's just a quirky thing
that's
for me.
That's fine, it's good
not
to know.
Not everybody feels like that. No. Started eating before everybody gets served.
Before okay. you went to jail, did you have a kind of last meal before you were going to go and have horrible
no.
prison food?
No. You have to understand, you know, we were in a daze. We didn't know what to expect. Mm. Everything was unreal. We didn't think we lost our way because we were friends with the same people. You know, we weren't living in a very ostentatious way, so we thought we had our feet on the ground. Little did we know that we had got completely intoxicated with the success. But there's nothing you can do to prepare yourself for that. And so it's like jumping in the water and not knowing whether it's cold or whether it's deep.
You're very wise. I mean, you're not bitter at all that you ended up going to prison.
You know,
you're very
bitter.
Accepting of the fact.
If you become bitter, then you've lost.
Yeah, you've lost
everything.
It's true.
That's the one thing I couldn't afford to lose. Losing my enthusiasm for life, or you know, becoming bitter is paying the ultimate cost. And so that didn't happen.
Did the girlfriend at the time stick with it? Or
yes.
Did she? Oh, okay. So she was waiting for you. Yeah. And people visited you, family and everything.
You know, for 6 months, we were in New York. So people used to come and bring smuggle dimes in so we can make phone calls.
Did they smuggle anything else in?
Bring in new sneakers.
Oh, sneakers.
So we would switch. When
oh, right. Clever.
Things like that.
How long were you in prison for?
13 months.
You and Steve were in the same prison, though, weren't
Thank
you?
God.
They didn't split you up. They kind
no.
of, you could be
Thank
together.
Thank God for that.
And you were great friends.
Great.
I thought that was...
Never have another friend like that.
You miss him.
Yes. You know, it had a devastating effect on my life. I mean, he died when he was a young guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been so long ago, kind of get anesthetized by all the problems and troubles that happen in life.
It's true.
But, you know, I was sad when he wasn't around for the pardon. And I was sad yeah. when I finally got a liquor license back.
Wow.
Well, I loved the story that you basically you'd apply for catering permits kind of every night because the liquor license wasn't going to come in time for you to open in that like 6 weeks that you
wasn't
were trying.
Technically a violation, by the way, what we did, but
it's clever.
You know, just today we were trying to be so protective. I call it of our beloved Studio 54 that we almost ruined our lives. And so when they wouldn't give us a catering permit for that night, we were going to take the risk of going through the weekend because we didn't want to hurt the business and then try to get a lawyer on the phone and try and get it on Monday.
Is food important and the restaurants in your hotels?
Yes.
So you've got major chefs.
Very important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matter of fact, the people from, I remember when I first met all the people from Marriott, and the current CEO of Marriott asked me, what's more important, the bar or the restaurant? And the restaurant, because it is a bed and board proposition. You know, you got to have good food. Not only a scene, but the food has to be good. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, when I first started, I was really only interested in making a scene. But now I take great pride in being involved with a restaurant that has really good food, that when the food is put on the table and you're eating it, it is just really good, really delicious. So I think
and it looks beautiful. Pardon? And you want it to look aesthetically beautiful, yeah.
Not precious.
Not precious, but look nicely presented, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you say you weren't so interested about making, did you say making a scene? Like, because, I mean, Studio 54 was like the most kind of famous scene. And I heard about Public, which is a hotel here in New York. And correct me if I'm wrong. So it doesn't have a reception. It has people with kind of, and you check yourself in, or people don't help you with your bags and things like that. It's quite kind of, can you explain the reason for that? Because you go from doing Studio 54, which feels so kind of elite, like it's exclusive, to then Public feeling kind of like, you know, everyone gets stuck in, and it doesn't have that kind of, if you're not on the list, you're not coming
well,
in.
Well, you know, everything changes.
Yeah.
Cars change, refrigerators change. And so now, you know, we're just kind of stepping back and trying to think what's really important to people. Mm. What do they really care about? Do people really care about bellmen when everybody's suitcases are on wheels, and they're on wheels because you have to walk so much when you're at an airport? So, you know, I know when I would go to a hotel, I would be bothered when I would come down into the lobby, have to give a tip to somebody who takes my bags outside, then have to give another tip to somebody that loads it on the car, then have to give another tip to someone that closes the door. Is that stuff important to me? No. Do people need help when they come in, when they have a lot of bags? Yes, they do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're figuring that out. But it's really an idea of figuring out what's important to people. You know, I think when you come into a hotel, every single transaction that you perform, if it can be done better with technology and without any friction, and it allows you to get something cheaper, it's better to do it that way. You know, when people say, well, they want the personal touch, it's baloney. I mean, do people mind getting on their iPhone and getting a number from Google rather than calling up an operator telling them what's the telephone? They don't care about that. You know, it's like we have to unlearn certain things. Mm. You know, in China, everybody pays with the phone. Everybody. Here, it's slower.
I know, it's slower than even in the UK. It's
because
crazy.
You have to get out of your old habits. So this idea of coming in and checking in quickly and getting right up to your room, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And if the check-in is done with a razzle-dazzle to it, it's fun, like the iPhone is. It's not an issue. So it's just having the nerve to try something new and show people something but they didn't know they wanted or needed.
Yeah, but if there's someone old like me, would they help schlep the bags
in? We're going
in?
To have someone helping.
For the OAPs.
Oh, there's someone there to assist you.
Okay, there is.
So if I don't want to schlep it out of the car and I can't lift it.
You know, someone is there to assist you. It's easier. It makes it cheaper. It's smarter, and it's where things are going, mm-hmm. like true. It or not.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to be happening.
Does this place have a restaurant?
Yes.
It does.
And it has a nightclub.
Yes.
Which is quite sceney.
Yes.
It's quite popping.
You know, the thing is, you come to New York, you want to see the best of New York City nightlife, New York City restaurants. So the idea is go right downstairs. It's all right downstairs. And those places are meant to attract the people who live here. because the people go to a hotel want to go with the people in the no-go of that city.
People do go to hotels more than we do in London.
You know what? Yeah. Because we've talked about how much we love the addition we go to the restaurant. Oh, fuck, what's it called? The fucking... Burners Tavern. Burners Tavern. I remember I took you there and it just felt exciting. We weren't staying in the hotel. I went there again because it was just nice. But I remember having...
Best mac and cheese.
It's quite phenomenal. We've talked about it on the show before.
Jason's great. We're doing a lot of stuff with him all over.
Are your hotels well lit? Most hotels in New York have this very dim lighting.
Well,
now, I don't know if it's to hide your wrinkles or
because
what.
Because of me.
Is it because of you?
You're the reason.
I can't. You can't see. I have to put my iPhone on to see the lift.
I always like to have the light. We don't use any fluorescent light, only incandescent.
All right, and you don't hit like an old people's home. I understand that.
No, but we like everyone to look good.
So it is because of that.
You kind of go for a sexy approach. It's very sexy.
Yeah, but I'd like to be able to see if they do look good, but I can't because it's so dark.
No, but sometimes we like to think that it's not too dark. But when other people copy it, maybe they make it too dark. But we have different light levels during the day. You know, we have three different settings.
So at night, it's...
Well, at night is a certain intensity, and at 11 o'clock, it gets darker.
So we look good. Okay.
So you look good and you feel good.
Yeah, but I have to put my glasses on to be able to see anyone.
Well, what are you doing in the public space reading at 11 o'clock?
Trying to find the menu.
Trying to find the button on the
menu
lift.
You can see.
No,
and you know
what
else? You take this out and
that's what I have to do everybody to find does the that. Lift for the button on the lift.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
This has been
so
romantic and wonderful. Thank
pleasure.
You so much.
Mom and daughter.
Mum, that was really interesting.
He was lovely. He wasn't a fusspot.
At all.
He did drink his coffee, but he said he just likes to hold it in his hand.
Almost like a safety net.
Yeah, it's like a safety thing. But he was warm and fun.
Twinkly eyes.
Twinkly. But I just couldn't get over the fact the dim lighting in the whole of New York's down to him.
It
to
is
make
fault.
You look good.
Yeah, because he cares about that and sexy.
Crikey.
I really enjoyed asking him questions. I thought maybe he'd be a bit bored of talking about Studio 54, but his eyes lit up every time we took him back to talking about it. And that was such a pleasure to see. You know, for something that there was such a rise and fall with it, and that he doesn't look back badly on that. He kind of has such fond memories, and it just... How lucky to have had such a whirlwind and...
So exciting.
So exciting. And that he's still working so hard.
But I loved the way he said that Studio 54 wasn't for the elite. It mixed race, gender,
that's
rich,
what made
poor.
It.
And that's what made it the exciting melting pot. And so dynamic, really. Mm. I thought it was very interesting.
What a pleasure to have Ian Traeger on our Table Manners in New York.
By the way, Jess.
What?
The way of the world is earth, wind and fire.
Oh, yeah. I like that when you start singing it with your there's the disco hands.
Of the world.
Mum is now pointing her finger and swaying.
Jessie, you'll have to get into that with a new album.
Okay, I will. Thank you for listening. I'm Jessie.
I'm Jessie's mum.
Mum, you are a star in your own right.
And he thinks you're very lucky to be able to be with me working. Or was that the other way around?
Mum, I feel like you're almost like Cheryl, like you could just be Lenny.
Yeah, I think I am.
You're like the only Lenny.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Lenny Henry.
And there's Lenny Bruce. Or there was.
You're the only female Lenny.
Absolutely.
Basically, you're Cher and Cheryl, and then there's Lenny. Mazel.
Thank you, Jess.
We are in the Lower East Side in Ian Traeger's public hotel, who after the podcast, he kindly invited us to come for a dinner. So we have ordered the whole menu. My friend Simon is speaking very loudly about his love life in New York, which is pretty non-existent at the moment. My mum's on her third Cosmo and she's eating a potato latke
Mum, what do you think of the food?
This is great.
This is great. And the latkes have Russ and Daughter's smoked salmon and caviar on them. Mum, are you having a lovely time? Did you just say three cosmos in? I'm fucked.
I'm fine.
Oh, I'm fine. Mum, what do you think of the loo?
I'm lucky I weed in the right place. It was so dull. And then the boy there showed me the way.
I have to say, Mum, I'm struggling with this light too, because it's not helping the jet lag at all.
I don't know where I'm at. I've lost the plot, Jess. That gorgeous boy had to show me there.
Anyway, thanks so much, Ian. Live and direct from the public hotel. Thank you.
The Table Manners music you have been enjoying is by Pete Fraser and Peter Duffy. And our dear editor and producer is Alice Williams.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.